Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 25th of May. And we've got our usual gang joining us, and we've got a few little extras, which we'll tell you in a second. So let's start off with, hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney peeps. I hope you're all lovely and well.
Disney peeps? Are we talking like marshmallow ones here?
Why are marshmallows called peeps?
Like the peeps that they have at Easter in the US.
No, we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about people.
Fine.
Oh, a fool.
Well, we haven't recorded for a while. I forget your humour. And hello, Craig.
Hello. Could you just refer to me as WDW because my injunction has not been lifted and I don't want you using my name on
it. Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, WDW. And, you know,
I recognise that voice. An injunction.
Oh. Yeah, can you imagine that? Get it? Imagine? Anyway, whatever.
That was terrible. And, you know, President Obama is in the UK as we speak, touring the country. And we thought, why does Obama be the only one that gets to come over to the UK? Why not bring some of the commoners over as well?
You, Mongello.
We've got an American on today's show, of which, again, we can't mention his name because of his injunction. But
Ricky Briganti.
Hello, Mr. American.
Guys, it is an honor to be on the Disney Brit podcast this week.
Oh, how disappointing.
I was about to say, is this an honor? He doesn't.
I thought it was someone nice.
That, yeah, me too. That's a bit disappointing.
He doesn't mean that at all. Welcome.
Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus,
any of those?
Taylor Swift.
No, we've got Nick LoCicero. Hello, Nick.
No, guys, as I hear it, I'm single-handedly responsible for bringing Vinylmation to the UK, I think, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a big fan now, Tricky Nicky.
Yeah,
you've
it.
Hooked me up, haven't you, with 10 over the weekend.
That's how we're going to bring you guys down.
It's like a pusher, isn't it?
It's a bit like it's a Vinylmation drug.
You know what? He starts you off with one and then gets you hooked.
It's even worse than that, just because he gave me a freebie when he came round to mine. Oh, yeah,
that's how they work.
Have one of these, you'll like this. And now I owe him 10, which are going to be like really rare ones I got by off eBay for $50 each. I'm going to just go to China and get some hooky ones.
I was going to say, that's unlike you not getting hooky ones in the first place.
Well, I'm going to try my best.
Okay, anyway, shall we do something useful? How are we all anyway? Because this is the first one we've recorded in about a month because we had mouse meets, which Juz couldn't be bothered to turn up to.
I did. I was at a hotel on my own in Manchester. I kept phoning Adam. He kept saying, we'll all be there in a minute. Don't worry, mate.
Well, anyway, yeah, we're all together and we got Nick with us as well. So it's like the Destination Disney team all together on...
It's not really Disney Brit, is it?
Well...
No, not really. So legally, I don't think you can use that name today.
I suppose.
And we junked him again. Let's do it.
Okay, right, anyway. So let's tell you what's going to be going on this show. We've got Nick on here for a reason. We do like him, but that's not the main reason we've got Nick on here. It's the comedy value of giving Nick British news, which is going to be really interesting in a little while. We're going to do some news and rumours as we do always. And then we're going to sort of go through all of the things that have happened in Disney over the past few weeks. We're going to look at Star Tours, we're going to look at the Pixar weekend, and the big one, really, the Destination D weekend that they had over there. And Nick was lucky enough to go to every single one of them. So he's here to talk about those with us. So should we start off with some news? Anyone? Should we start off with some news?
Yes, that would be lovely.
Right.
And so I'm used to a jingle.
Normally we'd say, Nick, press the news button, but on this occasion...
I was waiting.
No, the news is now.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Thank you.
so cheap, isn't it, this one?
Yeah. Brilliant. Right. Shoddy production here.
Shoddy production, terrible. I tell you, we don't get it as posh here as you do get on the Destination Disney, because we don't have a posh soundboard. We put it all in afterwards. It just ruined the magic. Anyway, let's talk about magic and fantasy and all of those things, because the Disney Fantasy is on its way in 2012, and Disney have released some details about the new Disney Fantasy ship. The aqueduct we know is going to be there, the magic portals will be there, the enchanted art is going to be there, but, and this is my favourite new element, the Animator's Palette is going to get something called Animation Magic. And let me explain. Well, I'll tell you what it says on the Disney Parks blog. This is a dinner show that celebrates the magic of Disney animation and allows families to participate in a unique new way. Everyone will be a guest animator, as they will be invited to draw a character on their placemat using a simple template. Later, these sketches will be revealed on several large screens along the walls to join in an animated sequence with beloved Disney characters. Check out this photo below, which you can't do because it's a radio. And they've basically got these big screens. You're going to add your own characters in, and you're going to have Mickey and Minnie, all those sort of people, interacting with each of your characters. It's quite cool. Then we've got a new entertainment district called Europa. This is taking European travel as all of its different elements. You've got La Piazza, which is going to be an Italian-themed bar. You've got the Skyline, which they've just added onto the Dream. You've got O'Gill's Bar, which is going to be an Irish bar with a twist. You're going to get the Ooh La La, which is inspired by French boudoirs. And my favourite-looking one, the Tube, which is a bar particularly taken after the London Underground, which is really, really cool. There's going to be a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique on board, as well as everything else that we expect. So it just sounds absolutely awesome. One other thing, just to let you know, they're going to have a Art Nouveau-style sort of lobby as you come in. Minnie Mouse has been confirmed as being the statue at the centre, and just absolutely fantastic stuff. This just sounds awesome. Craig, are you disappointed now that you... that you've sort of booked for the Dream and not waited for the Fantasy?
No, because I've done it at the right age for the kids. So if I'd waited till August for the Fantasy, they would have been older, and it just, well, I don't think it would have worked as well. I wanted to do it before Alex reached 10, because I think that's just a good age. But actually, your neighbours next door are going on the maiden voyage for the Fantasy, so I can find out more about it. But they're always going to add different things to it. I mean, they're tweaks rather than, you know, the aqueduct is a major advancement, and being 40% bigger than the other two is major. But, you know, these things are just toys, really. I'm sure they'll put them on the Dream anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll update the Dream as they go. Nick, is this something, you know, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, we know how much you want to be Tinkerbell. Is this going to be something that's going to drag you there?
Nice try, guys. No, but if there is a chance to do a Tinkerbell high wire act above the Disney Dream, like maybe at the grand opening, I'd like to be in the running for that job.
Okay, we can try and arrange that for you. I'm sure. I'll just send an email now, if that's okay. Juz, is it going to tempt you? Because you're not up for this cruising malarkey, are you?
No, not really. It's a boat. I'm not into boats. It just seems a bit boaty.
Define boaty.
He wants to go on the Disney Black Pearl.
Yeah, if it was that, and I could be a pirate, I suppose. So, no, it just doesn't. They just don't. It doesn't go. Woo! No, it's just no. Forget it.
Okay.
I'd like to show it. But just some people aren't boat people. Some people are. I'm just not a cruisy person. I just sorry.
Actually, no. I think this is such a cruise with a difference, though. Obviously, being Disney and all that sort of stuff. Craig, have you done a cruise before?
Never. I've never. And you know, I was kind of a bit like Juz, actually. I kind of thought it was for, you know, old rich people that travelled the world. But this is, you know, just something that I think is just so magical and so condensed but intense at the same time that you've got to do it. I kind of had an interest in cruise ever since I used to watch The Love Boat. But, you know, it's not really since Disney started
building. Love it. You're going to say, Where's Gopher?
But it's not really until Disney. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I would have probably gone on one when I'd retired and, you know, gone on a long cruise with Debs without the kids and stuff. But actually, because this is so.
You don't have
good,
to wait till you're retired, you know. You could just go on a cruise without your kids now, apparently.
Here we go.
So, so I think because it's Disney, I've done it now. That's
okay,
all.
That's cool. Right, okay, let's move on then. We're heading over to Walt Disney World, where I believe there's some more Figment merchandise appearing, Craig.
Yeah, there is actually, and this is it Disney cashing in on another character they can sell? Yes, but is it quite a cool one? Yeah, I think it is actually. There's some good stuff that's coming out with Vigment, who's the dragon from Journey to Imagination. There's a really cool kind of limited edition statue that's been done that's part of the Walt Disney Classic Collection. It's entitled Noble Knight, and it's been sculptured by Jacqueline Gonzalez. There's only 750, so they're going to be expensive, but I am sure Mini Mickey Mouse can have one in the house. It came out on May the 7th at the Art of Disney store in Epcot, and you know, it's a really cool kind of big fig. I really, really like it. Now, that's a bit too rich because they're expensive. Very, very cool Figment Mickey hat. Now, I know you like Mickey hats, Nick. You've got a few of them. This one's really cool. Purple, great big yellow eyes on the front, big orange ears. That's really cool. And they're kind of doing some nice key ringy stuff. There's a couple of 3D Vinylmation pins. They're kind of pushing it, which I think is really nice. There's also going to be a starter collector's pack of pins, but pins are so yesterday. It's all Vinylmation now, I'm afraid. Not interested in pins anymore.
Yeah, Nick's got him onto all this Vinylmation stuff now, and that's it. There is, you know, there's no going back for Craig. It's Vinylmation all the way. Nick, have you seen these new hats then? Are you going for one?
Yeah, I'm extremely excited about the Figment hat. I just added the R2-D2 Mickey ear hat to my collection this past weekend. Figment's definitely coming to my collection.
Now, at Mouse Meets, when we did the live sort of tour of Disney World, you saw the Mater Goofy hat. So did you pick that up? Have you bought it now?
I have not purchased that one yet, but I love it. That one may be coming to my collection. I'm on the fence about it, but I do really like it. You have to draw a line somewhere.
Well, you do indeed have to draw a line somewhere, but... I did notice recently there's an R2-D2 popcorn bucket. Have you bought that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to purchase that. I've seen them. They sold out this weekend, but there's going to be plenty more. Or they sold out on Friday anyway. And they're huge. People are loving those. I included that in a little Star Wars The Weekend Roundup article that I wrote this past weekend.
So let's get this right. You are drawing the line at a Mater Goofy hat, but you're going to buy an R2-D2 popcorn bucket.
Listen, I absolutely love popcorn buckets. I'm a big collector of popcorn buckets. I have the Minnie Mouse Snow Girl like snowman popcorn bucket that they came out with this past year.
They're great
year.
For washing the kids in the bath with.
Apparently, that's where you keep them. And I'm like, oh, how do you dare you keep that treasured collectible in your bathtub? That would be up on my shelf, you know?
You got about four of them stacked up in the bathroom, yeah.
I know, that's so sad. I want to rescue them.
If I find you in my tub, you're in trouble.
That's just an image I really don't want in my head. And let's move it back to the news, shall we? Because I'm just beginning to get concerned that we're going to get a little bit blue here. So,
real quick, they are doing great things with Mickey ear hats, though. They're really putting a lot of different ones out there. Have you seen the ones for the World Showcase yet?
No.
They're coming out with ones for each country. So far, they have like four or five of them where the hat part is the flag of the country. Then on the ears, it'll have representations of that country. Like for Italy, it has the flag. And it's kind of like a representation, not really the flag, but more the costume that the cast members wear in that country. And on one of the ears, it'll have like pizza for Italy. UK actually has one. But I'm not sure what's on the ears. I forgot what's on the ears of the UK hat.
France has one that's just white flags on it.
Earrings, probably.
Right, anyway, let's before we insult any other country that we could possibly insult.
No, we only insult France normally.
Well, that's true. We're going to move over to Jules, who's no doubt going to insult somebody else with this. But at the D23 Destination D event, there was a big announcement about another retro attraction returning. Jules, tell us more.
Yeah, in the great worlds of Walt Disney, keep moving backwards. And they've stuck to that philosophy here at Magic Kingdom. Yes, the Enchanted Tiki Room, brackets under new management, close brackets, is going back to its original title, the Enchanted Tiki Room, brackets, before new management, close brackets. they're ripping out all the good bits and they're all putting it back as it was, and Aladdin's getting kicked out and... Zazu from Lion King's getting kicked out due to cutbacks. and the economy, etc. And it's just going back to the way it was. So we think.
Yeah.
But Stitch is probably going to be in there.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen, because Nick's probably the most qualified, as he was there when they actually announced
this. Nick's most qualified. Oh, look at Nick. Isn't he great?
Your wife used to
mean something dunks, and now we're like, Nick's great, he's the best, swims like a fish.
It did talk about the fact that it was going to be something that was reminiscent of the original. Nick, did they say it was going to be a replica of the original, or something that was close to the original?
They did not say replica of the original. They said restored to the original attraction.
Oh, there you go, then.
That's the same, isn't it? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a replica of the original, people. This is a restored one back to how it used to.
Guys, it leaves a little bit open to interpretation.
In which way? How do those restored back to the way it was and original, how do they vary?
All I'm saying is that there's always a little loophole where there might be room for it not being exactly like it was when it first opened.
My God, what have you done to the Mona Lisa? She's got a moustache. We said we were restoring back to the original, but we thought, nah, it's a bit of a loophole there.
They've not gone to the original price.
No, I'm really pleased to see this back. I'm really pleased to see the original back. Craig, are you with me?
Yeah, I didn't hate the under new management.
No, I suppose
it's not that new because it was based on, you know, a film that's now quite old. So it's quite nice to go back to the original. And maybe it's done because it's the 40th anniversary and stuff, but they're probably going to keep it like that now. I can't see why they would then go back to under the not the new management, but it was the new management, you know. I quite like it. I think it's fine. Yeah.
Juz. You're not with us on this, are you?
No, well, do you know what? I don't really know who would care. In the sense that, other than Disney geeks, who on earth cares what it's like when they take the kids in? And I just don't understand the logic. Out of the percentage of people who go to Disney, there's probably 1% who are geeks, who will go, oh, look, he's got a Yazoo, yay! And all the other notes will go with the kids go, isn't this a great show? A bit clunky, but nice. I just don't. Could it be bothered? And all they're doing is taking out three birds or four birds. It's not really, you know. It must be like the sort of the apprentice style Walt Disney Imagineer. My first job, take those four birds out, lads. Okay.
Done. You reckon they've given it to the American Apprentice?
You'll
have one attraction at Walt Disney World in which to do something
and
with.
He will go in there. Donald Trump will go in and go, where's the bloody bird? And he goes, you're fired.
Since when has like he been from Essex?
He's trying to be like Alan Sugar.
Yeah, and he's supposed to blow the bloody doors off. Okay, Nick, you're up for this, though, aren't you?
Well, I am fine with them doing it, but also on the other hand, I do like the under new management version. I like current. We talked about this a little bit in Destination Disney last week or 2 weeks ago, bringing classic Disney characters into classic Disney attractions and kind of shoehorning them in. And I like this one. I like their inclusion of classic Disney animated characters into a classic Disney ride. It worked, it fit, and I enjoyed it. But I'm not going to be sad for them to revert back to the original either. But I don't think it's necessary. Now, are we speculating at all? Is there speculation out there that it's because of the fire and maybe, you know, Iago got damaged?
I do wonder whether that's part of it or whether it's...
Was he not a phoenix?
Universal sent one over. I would guess, this is pure speculation from my point of view, they were planning on bringing it back for the 40th anniversary. They had the fire. They didn't see any point in fixing it, so they introduced it early.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, all I'm going to say, that my final thing on this is that, you know, where they've changed a ride like this, they should have just left it. What I'd rather them do is bring back some of the rides that have gone completely, which, no, they can't. Things like Horizons. I'd love 20,000 Leagues. Well, Horizons, 20,000 Leagues to have come back. You know, they can't do that now. But no. I'd rather them look back and think of actually what's gone from the part that we could bring back that people haven't experienced, rather than let's just strip something that we've evolved and moved forward to go backwards. It doesn't seem to make any kind of sense to me.
That's very true. Okay, let's move on then. And usually we give Juz, usually Craig actually, the piece of news that has the difficult words that we know he can't say in. There's only one thing better than that, and that's giving an American a piece of British news that's a bit pointless and just a bit random and trying to get him to read that. So, Nick, over to you.
Yes, disclaimer, I asked Craig about a few words in here, and if he's joking with me, it's not my fault.
Trust me, mate, please.
David Leake from Hartlepool. He's 76 years old and says he has collected nearly 350 toys of Disney characters in one room. And he only started collecting them 3 years ago. Apparently, he went to a trip to Disneyland Paris, and a friend of his was bringing back a Mickey Mouse plush doll. He was like, I got a lot of free time on my hands after I retired from my job. I need something to do. Let me start trying to collect plush Disney characters. So every weekend he goes off to a,
You should have got Lou Mangiello on.
I know you should have. You should have. You should probably should have. A car boot sale. There we go.
There you go.
The local car boot sale. Now, We call them garage sales over here. I don't know, I don't know if that makes any more or less sense, but apparently you guys go out in the field, right? You just fill your trunk up with our boot up with stuff from your house. You drive down the field, you open up your boots, and you let everybody come around and buy stuff, right?
Not quite like that.
See, that's what I'm imagining in my head. I'm thinking that's so cool because that does away with tables and all that stuff.
Do you know they need tables?
You're not far off. Yeah, basically, people open up their boot, they put tables in front of their cars, they dump all the stuff on the tables, and then people come along and offer you money for it. So, yeah, you're nearly there.
Okay, so he goes off to his car boot sales every weekend, and he basically finds all these Mickey Mouse plush toys, and the most he's ever paid for one was £5, but the majority of them only cost 20p. Now, he goes around these, but the most he's ever bought in one weekend was about three or four of them. He was shocked, though, because he wanted to have the world record for the most Mickey Mouse toys, right? The Mickey Mouse plush toys. But he found out that an American man owns 3,000 plush toys. So he's only at 350. He's 76 years old. He only gets a couple each weekend.
He's not going to make it, is he?
Give up now. We can't. Have you mentioned his name, or are we not allowed to for injunction reasons?
I said it, David Leake of Hartlepool.
Of where?
Where?
Hartlepool?
Hartlepool.
Hartlepool.
There you go. Okay. That wasn't bad, actually, bearing in mind. No. Yeah, that was quite good. I was quite impressed.
I missed the car.
In fact, he missed the whole middle bit and was and ahhing. We had a conversation.
That's true, we did. Okay, let's...
You're fired.
Right, so we're heading over to Disneyland Paris then, and let's take a look at a couple of bits and pieces from over there. The first off being some concept art that has been released to do with the Ratatouille Dark Ride. We've talked about this and talked about it and talked about it, and we're going to continue to talk about it some more because they've released some concept art and what looks like some drawing plans as to what this is going to be. Now, I look at the concept art for this and it just reminds me so much of the French Pavilion. What it's going to be is it looks like a facade of 3-4 different French style buildings. One is going to be look like Gusteau's on the left hand side. There's going to be a middle building which is going to have a canopy in front of it. And on the right, there's going to be a red brick building with the Ratatouille ride entrance. Now, from what we expect is going to happen, there's going to be an attraction in there and there's going to be a restaurant. Now, this attraction building is huge. For those of you who've been to Disneyland Paris and have been to Toy Story Playland, expect this building and front of the attraction to be as big as Toy Story Playland. We are talking absolutely massive here. The information was found over at the Chessy Town Hall. It was sort of posted up there. And it looks like this is definitely coming. It looks, Disneyland Paris will never announce whether it's coming or not. So looking at the detail and the information that's coming, it looks like there's a new sit-down restaurant and attraction coming to Walt Disney Studios. I'm excited, Juz. Have you seen the film?
Yes, I think it was absolutely awesome. One of the best films I've ever seen, The Ratatouille.
So you've not seen the film yet?
No.
Brilliant. Okay.
Does that mean I can't go on the ride?
That means you'll go on the ride and go, I have no idea what is going on here.
To be honest with you, half the time of my life, I'm going around things thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing.
It's called senile dementia. Craig, have you had a chance to look at the images and are you excited?
You know, it's pretty impressive they're doing something. And, yeah, I think it looks quite nice. It looks very much like Epcot-y Paris area, kind of the scene, doesn't it, where you're walking up and you've got the kind of middle bit with their posters on. But, yeah, I think it looks quite nice. Another addition. Good luck to it.
Yeah.
How come he gets a sensible question? Have you looked at the pictures? What do you think? Have you looked at the film?
I was coming back to you.
Okay, then.
Looking at the images and having not seen the film, is it something that you're still excited about, or is it something you're not too bothered because you don't really know the film?
To be honest with you, I've not looked at the pictures. Nor have I looked at the film.
But are you still excited, Jazz?
Do you know what? Bizarrely, I'm still excited because I think I'm going in as a vanilla person and have no preconceptions.
Okay. There you go. That's his. Nick, have you looked at the pictures?
Yes, I've looked at the pictures, and as a geek, I've looked at the blueprints as well. You know, I like this. It's a cool themed area. It's really neat on the outside. Now, I didn't enjoy. This is one of those Pixar movies that's kind of down there on my list, actually. The animation is absolutely beautiful, so hopefully the ride will look just as cool. And so I'm excited. I mean, I like the dark rides based on, you know, the classic Disney movies, and so this will be cool.
And unpredictably, it being a movie set in France, it was quite a popular movie in France. Would this be something, do you think, because I'm not aware of how much space there is behind France, is it something that you think they could add to France if it became popular?
Oh, there's loads of space. There's Spain, Portugal. Behind France, there's tons of space.
Brilliant. Right. Oh, man. Do you know what, Juz? Thanks, but I think it's time we part company and add Nick on.
Actually, Adam, I was just going to say I wish Juz was this funny on Destination Disney.
Oh, hey.
Because you two just go, oh, yes, this is. Oh, yes, this boat looks slightly different than it used to be. Yes, it does.
This is because he has a chance to just waffle on here. We're not constrained to an hour. That's okay. Exactly why. Okay, moving on to our final piece of news, which is Craig.
Well, you know what? We never got on a plane this time. Nick hasn't had a flight.
He didn't need one.
Good point. We always do the plane bit.
Didn't do the plane bit. Okay, we're going back to America to pick up Nick, and then we're getting on a plane, flying over to Disneyland Paris to join Craig, who's outside an attraction in Adventureland.
Talk about carbon footprint or what?
I know.
We forgot
loads of money to spend. We went cargo. Look, now, we know Disneyland Paris management are not the best at making big announcements, and it seems now they're beginning to leak out some information on what might happen to one of the really cool rides over there, talking about Pirates of the Caribbean. This hasn't been confirmed, right? This is just an ad and rumour, no injunctions, none of those sorts of things. But it looks like Captain Jack is going to join Pirates of the Caribbean attraction from 2012. Okay, it's been a popular attraction in Orlando when he's joined. You know, it made me go back and see it. I know Juz would have gone back anyway and seen it many times. But, you know, he's been really popular. I think people are expecting to see him there. And even though we're now at the end of the fourth film, Paris have decided to maybe add him to their attraction. But I think the problem they've got here, and Adam's done quite a good story on this on his DisneyBrit.com, is that the Paris version of the ride works slightly different to the US versions of the ride. So it's kind of where they're going to fit him in. I think they're also going to add a mist screen, because that appears at the beginning of the Orlando attraction. But the placement of that we've seen what in Paris. So they've got to do some work around where he's going to go. Is he going to go in the barrel scene with the auctioneers? Not sure yet. So because it's still rumour, because they don't tell us anything. But it's going to be good to have him there. I'm quite excited to have him there. I just think he should have probably been there when they updated, you know, the other rides. It just seems a bit of an afterthought now.
I'm kind of torn on this as to whether I want it or not. But before I say anything, I think we need to speak to our Pirates expert, Juz. Are you happy about this addition, or are you pleased that it's still a different version to what we've got in California and Disney World?
Walt Disney keep moving forward, and I think, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean brackets under new management, it will be a fad, and I'm sure at some point Disney will decide to go retro after the fire.
What, you think that Jack Sparrow's going to be there with Iago on his shoulder?
I hope so. That'd make more sense to me. Do you know what? I really like the Jack Sparrow bit in it. And as I said before, I love the original. I adore the Paris one because it's untouched and clean and as it should be. But in reality, other than the 1% Disney geeks, which kid knows and understands? They're going Pirates of the Caribbean, go, where's Jack Sparrow? Where's Barbossa? And then you have to explain, well, this is because it's a Walt thing. And they go, I don't care. I want commercialism.
So and when they get out, they're going to be it's all the Jack Sparrow toys outside. So they're going to say, well, where? It doesn't make sense.
So it makes no sense from a marketing point of view. So I understand why Disney has to do it. It's really bizarre. You've actually created a film which is hugely popular that people didn't understand the attraction was there and almost said, oh, there's attraction here based on the film. And, you know, it's worked the opposite way around. Whereas Haunted Mansion, well, hey, the film was a massive flop. Everyone hated it and Haunted Mansion stayed as it was.
You see, my problem with this is although I like some of the additions of Jack Sparrow in the attraction in Orlando, I still think that they've sort of shoehorned Jack in a few places, and I've looked at it and gone, I really don't quite understand why he's there. And I'm worried that the same thing's going to happen here. And like I say, keep moving forward and all that's absolutely fine. But I just don't think they thought thoroughly as to how they were going to get Jack in the attraction in every single scene. And I'm worried that the same thing will happen to Paris. Some people reckon that the Paris version is the best version of Pirates. And I'm just kind of hoping they're not going to ruin it. Nick, obviously you've not been to Paris, but...
Correct.
You know, what's your opinion on what they've done to the Orlando version?
I love it. You know, I was all for adding Jack to the ride, and it's the perfect addition. I mean, there's no reason it shouldn't be done throughout all the Pirates rides. There really isn't. I mean, Juz said it best. I mean, it's kids, you know, nowadays expect, you know, Jack Sparrow to be part of the attraction because he's part of the movies. He's ingrained in us. He's a huge pop culture figure now, you know, with the four movies, and he should be in the attraction. There's only one spot. I mean, he's in there three times. Yeah. And the only one that is weird is the very first one where he's just peeking out from behind the wall. I don't know what else they could have done. I mean, it would have been neat to see him in a sword fight if they could have put that in there or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But, you know, I don't know how you'd get that into there necessarily. The two other scenes make sense where he's peeking out of the barrel and where he's, you know, in the treasure room. But, you know, I enjoy it. They did a wonderful job with the animatronic. It looks spot on, Jack Sparrow. So I'm all for it.
Okay, well, there you go. On that poignant note, we will end the news there. And that means, Juz, you need to give us our customary... Woohoo! Find adventure a sport, but live every minute for all that's in it. The life of a pirate is short.
Yo-ho! Columbus Vacation Villas. Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Okay, apparently Hollywood Studios have had some ride, it's had some changes, they've done something with it, new film, bits and pieces, quite rubbish, worst I've ever heard. Nick, this ride is appalling, I believe, now. We're talking Star Tours, you're disgusted with it. In fact, I believe you stormed out of Hollywood Studios, you're that disgusted at what they've done to this ride.
I can't even pretend to go along with you there, Juz. Star Tours, The Adventures Continue, of course, opened up at Hollywood Studios this past week during Star Wars weekend, and I had the chance to ride it five times. Now, if you know a little bit about this ride, there's about 54 different ride possibilities you could go on, so you almost never get the same ride twice. A lot of action, and my first impression of the ride, I have to tell you, is when the best thing about this ride is I didn't stop smiling, didn't get off the edge of my seat, was laughing, cheering throughout the whole thing. This may be my new favorite ride in all of Walt Disney Wow. World. Yeah, they did such a spectacular job. This ride was very much, everybody agrees, very much in need of an update. And it was funny because when I was at the D23 event, one of the the Imagineers got up and talked about the Star Tours ride. And they said when the ride was first put in 20-something years ago, it was meant to be upgraded every 2 to 5 years. And they were very excited about the new technology that they had in there. And they could update this movie every 2 to 5 years, and they were going to do that. And they said that 2 to 5 years turned into almost 25 years. And they finally got around to updating this ride. Now, they do say that, you know, this is something that can be updated when needed. But it is an absolutely beautiful ride. From the queue right through to the end of the ride, it is one of the greatest experiences you will have at Walt Disney World. Now, I don't think you have to be a Star Tours fan to totally grasp it and enjoy it. But if you are a Star Wars fan, if you are a Star Wars fan, you will get a lot more out of it. But it's just a great time. Now, I guess we'll start a little bit with the queue. When you first walk in, the first thing you notice is like the interaction between the R2-D2, C-3PO, the PA announcer, and all the little gags that you come to expect from Star Tours and from Disney rides in general. But just it's just done brilliantly. All the little gags that you see and all the interaction, it's flawless. In the next room is one of the coolest things that they could have ever invented for this ride. And all it is, it's something that's really small. It's just a window up the top. And through the window, you see like these silhouettes of Star Wars characters. And it's very simple. It's like a video screen, and it just looks like all these Star Wars characters are walking past with their suitcases, getting ready to go on flights. You know, funny things happen to droids and stuff like that. Just a really comical little thing. And in this room, it's funny because this room's so small and you walk past this stuff so quickly. It's kind of a room that you wish you were kind of in a little bit longer, but it's only a little part of the ramp. When you get onto the ride, first of all, the first thing you notice is the brilliant HD video of the safety video, pre-show, pre-ride, little movie that they show while you're waiting to board the Star Speeder. It is just like, I don't know, it's just like to see the HD video on this attraction after seeing, kind of the cheesy old video for so long, it just really stands out and it really looks beautiful. Of course, they still put in there the cool gag with the kid turning around, taking a flash picture of Chewie, so they keep, stuff like that in there, and that's really cool. You get on the ride and just, it's just an amazing ride. Like I said, everybody was into it, and you don't stop laughing and yelling and stuff. The characters that they throw at you, the HD 3D video is just absolutely stunning. It looks so crisp, so clear, and the sound is great. The movement, in conjunction with what's going on the screen is absolutely perfect. And the gags that they bring you through are just amazing as well. And we'll go through a little bit of the ride in just a second. But if you guys want to, talk about a few of the different features of the ride, Dunk, you have a question.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Nick. The one of the things that I really like about the Simpsons ride is the cool screen, how it wraps you around. When I've been looking at the videos of this, it looks like the screen's the same size as in the old one.
Oh yeah, yeah. The ride vehicle is fairly similar. I don't know if they did any real upgrades to the seats or the the viewing screen is the same screen that you're getting. It's not that big of a screen. But here's the coolest part about this ride. It's the way they interact with that screen. Now, first of all, you have C-3PO. He's an animatronic figure sitting on your left, and absolutely perfect. He'll turn, he'll make, motions, he'll be talking to you. On the right-hand side, you have a little video screen, and they use that video screen for certain gags and certain things in the attraction itself. Yeah, the screen isn't huge, but it's the way they use the screen, unlike I've ever seen an attraction use the screen before. One example is you're flying through the Wookiee planet, all right? And you're following one of the little speed bikes and stuff, and you're following them, and all of a sudden Chewie, he falls off one of the bikes that gets blown up. He lands on your windshield, and I mean, just the sound. I mean, it really looks like, you know, and feels like he's there because you're immersed in this action so well. And the video is so amazing. And the way they play these gags with your windshield. So it looks like Chewie's kind of hanging on and trying to hang on. And like you see these streaks on your windshield. And then he slides off and, you know, the streaks kind of clear as you start flying again. In one scene, the little, you know, the little bug droids that kind of go on your, that they kind of throw out on the spaceships and they kind of crawl around and wreak havoc. Well, they'll land on your windshield and they'll be clanking around on there and stuff. And R2 will have to shoot them off with a laser. And everything just looks perfect. The gags that these, there's one, I don't want to ruin this one for people. And it's actually in my review on the DisneyBrit.com site if you want to read about it. But Naboo was my favorite destination. Naboo had this two really, really cool scenes with the windshield. One with a creature that was attaching itself to your windshield and just slobbering all over it. I'm not going to spoil the ending, but the ending was just spectacular. And was hilarious.
Can I ask you?
And, yeah.
Is it the same ending each time, or is there different endings?
No, it's a different ending. Yeah, that's a good point. Now, from what I could tell, like I said, there's about 54 different rides that you could take. From what I could tell, there's four spots on this attraction where it could take you in different directions. Now, the first is the very opening scene. One of the opening scenes, I got Darth Vader. Basically, your cruiser takes off. And the premise of the ride is that you have a rebel spy on your ship. And this is a really cool piece of guest interaction that they have there. Somewhere when you board the ship and when you're sitting down, they take a picture of somebody on your cruiser, one of the guests sitting on your cruiser.
Okay.
And at some point in the show, one of the whether it's Darth Vader or one of the droids or something that's stopping your ship will hold up a video screen either to your windshield, which is another, like I said, a really cool use. They really interact with that windshield and do really cool things. They'll hold up a picture, and it'll be a digital picture of someone on your ship. And the first time they showed that, I mean, everybody just erupted. I mean, it was just so funny. And it's such a small thing, yet it's just such a big piece of interaction that really, really helps make the ride and the experience. And you know, when Darth Vader at the very beginning, he's holding you with the Force and shaking your ship around, it is just, like I said, stunning. The video is crisp and clear, the movements are great. I had two different beginnings on my five rides, one with Darth Vader, the other one with this droid that kind of stopped me and stuff. So that's one point. You visit two different planets on your trip. And so those change out too. Okay. Some of the ones I visited were Naboo, Coruscant, the Wookiee planet. So you'll visit different planets and you'll have different adventures there. Now, I'm not sure, and maybe you've heard this, Adam, I'm not sure if there's more than one adventure on each planet. Like, I visited Tatooine and did pod racing.
I'm not sure
if there's a...
Well, there's okay. 54 combinations, isn't there? So surely there must be some more than one in some way.
Yeah. Now, here's the, and that this is a, see, I would hate to be a spoiler on this, but I'm going to give this, but it's a spoiler alert here. One of the greatest things about the ride is the interaction. Now, we've already talked about how they bring back some of the classic Star Wars characters to interact with you in this ride. And this part, and I know you guys can laugh all you want, whatever. This part almost gives me chills just as a Star Wars fan, a Disney fan, and just the way this part looked. They'd actually, a light comes on in the center front of your cabin, and it basically shoots down a hologram in front of you. And it's a hologram of a classic Star Wars character. Now, the ones I'm aware of are Princess Leia, Admiral Akbar, and Yoda.
Cool.
And they'll put this hologram of a Disney character, I mean, of a Star Wars character right in front of you. And it just, I mean, it looks so real. It looks amazing. Now, it didn't even dawn on me till after it was done how real Princess Leia looked. And, I mean, it was her movements from, you know, when R2 shoots her hologram out in the first Star Wars movie. And she, you know, she asks, you know, says, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope. She basically gives that whole speech, but Star Tours, you guys are my only hope. And so it was little comical moments, but it looked so perfect and sounded. The sound, her voice was perfect.
How do they do that? Do they have, is it the actual actors, or is it computer generated, or what?
I don't know. But, I mean, it was Princess Leia looking like Princess Leia. Now, obviously, Admiral Ackbar and Yoda are, you know, digitally CGI characters, and that's, you know, or, you know, they could create those. But they created Princess Leia right in front of you, and that was just amazing. And, like, the sound, I don't know. Did Carrie Fisher record the script?
I don't know,
but it sounded like her. And it was – that was amazing because they'll appear to you, send you on a mission, and R2 will take you there for your second – planet, and then they'll come back on to thank you at the end, and it's just that was just one of the. I don't know if that was leaked beforehand. I certainly didn't read about it.
No, nothing at all.
And that part, yeah, that part just really hit me, and that was, it was awesome. Like I said, you were just on the edge of your seat. Like, where am I going? What am I doing? You know, and just the interaction with your cruiser, it was just amazing.
Can I ask you then, you're talking about being thrown about all over the place, and one of the things that some people suffer with this attraction, my wife included, is this idea of motion sickness. She can't go on Star Tours because it makes her feel sick. Is the motion in this as much? Is it smoother? Is this still going to make people feel sick?
I'd say yes. I'd say if you're already prone to it, yes. In fact, I'd have to say it's more. There's more kind of tossing you around and, you know, leaning and starts and stops and things like that. Especially, like I said, that scene where Darth had you in the Force grip and was like just shaking your cabin around and throwing you all over the place. That was so cool. But yeah, I could see how people would get kind of, ugh.
Okay, before we sort of move on, because we've got so much to cover on this show, one last thing, and this is a sort of practical question I thought about.
Yeah.
You're wearing 3D glasses, you're being thrown around. How do you keep your glasses on?
Extremely comfortable glasses. These things are awesome. That, I'm glad you brought that up. These things are the most comfortable 3D glasses I've ever worn. I think they're starting to use these for the 3D features in the movie theater now.
Right.
They're just really nice, big, thick glasses that kind of wrap around a little bit. They're really good. I do have to mention something else, though. I do, because this other part, because this part in the queue, I told you from queue to the end of the ride, this thing immersed you in the whole thing. And that's what I'm saying. This whole experience is what I think puts this ride as possibly my favorite Walt Disney World attraction right now. The whole experience, because there's one part in the queue line that I didn't mention that absolutely just steals the show. It's the luggage screening droid. This droid is absolutely hysterical. Now, it's kind of like he plays a bumbling kind of droid character that, you know, doesn't notice all the dangerous things coming through his screening. And just this is the part where you get a lot of the Disney and Star Wars jokes thrown in. Okay. Now, it's a really cool thing where you see the luggage go behind him and a laser shoots the luggage and it shows you a quote unquote X-ray vision of what's inside. And there are hilarious things inside there. Like you'll see cases with Mickey ears. I saw a Mr. Incredibles costume. I saw a Stitch plush doll that he mistaked for an alien. There'll be, you know, those droids that say Roger, Roger.
Yeah.
There was one of those droids in there, and you know, he didn't notice that it was moving around, and then it started saying Roger, and he just kept saying, "My name's not Roger." And just let it go on. You know, he'll see, like, guns and bombs and stuff, and he'll just let it all go. Cause he's too, and he interacts not...
Just not like TSA, like, really.
And he interacts with the crowd, too. Not like... I don't want to say interact. That's the wrong word. But he talks to you. You know, it's not like a talk back and forth type thing.
Right.
But he'll, like, point to people in the crowd and, like, say things and stuff like that. But it's not, you know, like, any kind of... No one's controlling him and making him do that. Just generic things.
Did you...
But great interaction.
Did you mention Wall-E? Because apparently Wall-E appears.
He means Wall-E.
Wall-E.
No, I did not see... In the luggage?
Yeah, apparently so. Somebody's reported that apparently he appears in the luggage...
I'm sure he does. Like I said, I saw so many. I mean, I'm just mentioning a couple.
Yeah.
But there's a Mickey Sorcerer hat. There's this hilarious one with Lando Calrissian, and Lando's bag comes up as, you know, like, wanted man, and his picture comes up on this little screen that the droid is watching, and he'll say, he'll, like, turn to an audience for a guest, you know, in line, and say, I bet you're wanted, too, and then he looks down and with a really sad voice says, I wish I was wanted. And so, you know, just funny things, just fun Disney references, fun Star Wars references. The ride is just amazing.
Sounds absolutely amazing. Okay, if you want to learn more about that attraction, then you can go over to DisneyBrit.com, and there's a Star Tours review, sorry, on there from Nick. There's also some videos over there to do with the queue line, the videos, it's the actual ride video and all those sort of stuff as well. As if that's not enough to do with Star Tours, what we've got now for you is an audio recording courtesy of Tom Corliss from WDW News Today. He went on, or has been on, Star Tours quite a few times, and he recorded the audio of just one of the 54 different combinations there are available. So what you're going to hear next is one of those audio recordings. Then we're going to talk about the Pixar weekend that happened over at Epcot.
Star Tours, 1401, you are clear for departure.
1401, that's us. We can't take off. The captain isn't on board.
Auto takeoff sequence initiated.
Excuse me, you don't seem to understand. I am not the captain. I am C-3PO.
1401, clear for takeoff. Contact departure on frequency
1499. Wait! Wait! R2-D2, I am not programmed to fly these things. Now just turn us around this instant before we get into trouble. I blew it!
Shoot. Prepare to be boarded, Captain.
I'm afraid there's been a terrible mistake. I am seen.
We know you have this rebel spy on board.
I've never seen that one before.
Oh, dear. Gotta go. I want that spy.
Oh, Stop.
Well, it's not yours. I trust our colleague is safe.
Safe? Have you any idea what we've been through?
We're on your deck, Captain.
Captain? Glad to be of service. Well, we're all in the Rebel Alliance now, so may the Force be with us. And thank you for flying Star Tours.
Until the captain has opened the exit doors. You may then unlatch your safety restraints by pressing the release button on your left.
With every sun that comes up, comes the question, where to go out on this town? Downtown Disney. It's like hitting the hot spots of every happening city on the planet. Restaurants you've read about. Shops you've dreamed about. Clubs that cut your curiosity loose. Downtown Disney. In a city of choices, the metropolis of fun.
Right, Craig. I think we're talking about something else, aren't we?
We are. Another thingy that Nicky Boy went to. Nick, tell us all about Pixar's 25th anniversary weekend thing at Epcot so that I don't have to go even though it's over.
That was a really fun time. That was one of the only times where you could go around and meet all the Pixar characters in one place. And a lot of these Pixar characters not around for meet and greets normally. They had someone from every movie except Nemo and Wall-E. Apparently, we're talking to a cast member, and apparently, Wall-E's spaceship broke down on his way to Earth. That was what they were telling guests.
Okay.
So he couldn't make it. And, friends, you got to meet these coral stilt walkers, which were absolutely amazing, actually. And I'm going to, and pictures should be posted very soon of a lot of the things I saw at the Pixar weekend on the Disney Brit, probably DisneyBrit.com and the Destination Disney Facebook page. This was a spectacular event. This was a lot of fun. You know, it's funny because when I meet and greet characters, I mean, I'm 30 years old. It still like brings a huge smile to my face interacting with these Disney characters. And I just had a lot of fun. Now, it took all day. It took absolutely all day. One of the, in hindsight, good things, but things I was disappointed with is none of the characters were signing autographs. But that kept the lines moving because I don't think I would have met everybody if they didn't do that. You know, I wanted to get some autographs, but it just, you know, none of the characters at all were signing. Now, first of all, we went into this big building. It was the World Showplace. It's in between the UK and Canada. And in there, they had Mater from Cars. They had Incredibles, Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, Frozone. They had all the characters for Up, Carl, Russell.
Squirrel!
And
he's been holding that back, hasn't he? For the past 5 minutes, he's been waiting for that.
What was really cool is they had a mock-up of the Up House, right? And then the characters would stand in front of the Up House. Carl was just an amazing character. He really played his part. He had to sit down every once in a while because he was, you know, getting tired and feeling old. He just was really, really good. Doug was amazing. Doug came out. He was the happiest thing in the world. The crowd cheered for him when he came out, and he let people pet him, you know, and he would do them. It was great. It was really, really cool, and the characters were just absolutely amazing. They really played their part well. One of the other things is usually it was two characters at a time. I'll get to Monsters, Inc. in a second, which was three characters for a little while. Most of the time, you got to meet two characters at a time, whether it be Mr. and Mr. Incredible, Mr. Potato Head and Lotso, which were in the Toy Story 3 area. So you got to meet a couple characters at a time, which also kept the lines moving and everybody happy. Now, when we got to Monsters, Inc., I never heard a crowd cheer so loud for a meet and greet character as when Boo walked out for her first appearance of the morning from behind the wall. Because it was just Sully and Mike. And then all of a sudden, Boo came out, and the place just erupted. Everybody was going nuts. People were shoving to get back into line and things like that. In fact, yeah, I'll throw them out there. These people cut back in front of us. These people left the line because they were like, ah, we're not waiting for this. Then Boo showed up, and like 2 minutes later, they're pushing and shoving back in front of us. Like, oh, we never left. So everybody wanted Boo. And Boo, have you guys ever seen Boo? Oh,
do you know what? I was just having that exact thought. The only times I can think about seeing it is in the parade. And I can't even remember when they did the Monsters, Inc. sort of meet and greet when the film came out, her even being part of that. She's certainly not appeared at Disneyland Paris. This must be the first time. I don't know whether it just, Craig, you can think of anything.
I saw it at the cinema once.
Yeah, I've seen
well,
it on
the
DVD.
That film. Okay.
Yeah.
I just can't think of seeing it at the park.
One of the best costumes I've ever seen. And I'll tell you, these characters, you know, sometimes when you go to the meet and greet, and you could tell sometimes the characters just aren't into it. Sometimes they're not, all into it. They're just there taking pictures and signing. These characters were into it. They knew they were just there for that one weekend. They were into it. Boo was so hilarious. She would, like, you know, randomly just start running around. So she would just start running around to different parts of the room and just, like, you know, wandering off and things like that. And Sully would have to go get her back. And her costume was amazing. So, you know, inside, like, the, you know, the monster costume that she wears, her head would just, like, bounce. It was on some kind of spring. And so she'd, like, bounce around and her head would, like, shake. It was just the cutest little costume in the world. It was so much fun to take pictures with these characters. What were you going to say, Craig?
I was going to say that when you've kind of gone on all about Boo and how cute she was, what I didn't get about this weekend is what this race around the park thing was. I'm looking at the map, and I don't quite get what you did.
Well, that was just a fun little thing, I think, just to give a little piece of interaction. It was kind of like Disney's starting to do this kind of thing back with the passports from the Food and Wine Fest, where, I mean, it's nothing too special, and you don't really get anything for it, but you get these little passports that tell you all the different things you could do around the World Showcase, and you get a stamp around the world. For this, for the Cars Race Around the World, it was basically 6 stickers to collect, and the stickers were characters from either Cars or Cars 2, and it was just this little booklet that you picked up at the beginning of the World Showcase, I should say, and it was the it was kind of a map around to the characters, and it was also basically an advertisement for Cars 2. It told you about the characters that you're going to meet in Cars 2, and you had to go to the little kid cop places and collect stickers, and when you get all 6 stickers, you get a cool little Cars button. So I got that.
Cool.
That sounds cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. They had Flick from Bug's Life and Ada, and they had the only character that I missed that I really wanted, and we just ran out of time. I'll tell you that I was there for 7 hours, the whole entire length of the event. The event was from 11 to 6:30. I was there entire time and still missed one character that I wanted, and that was Bullseye from Toy Story. That would have been a cool one, but I never got a picture taken with Bullseye. Now, when they were outside, a lot of the characters had to have pretty strict, it was really warm that day, and they had really strict times to be in and out. That's why holding a lot of the characters inside the World Showplace was just a brilliant idea. Got to meet the Ratatouille characters over in France. They were, you know, they were fun. They were, did little rat things, so they were interacting with.
What's the little rat thing?
What? They nipped him and stole some food.
Well, like one of them was looking for garbage on the ground, and they were doing, you know.
That's just the French way.
Oh man.
Oh, real quick, one last thing. One of the coolest parts, though, and kind of unexpected, were the other characters from A Bug's Life. I have pictures with, you know, the big walking stick character in Bug's Life.
The magician, isn't he?
In the was the stick the magician?
Yeah, I'm sure he was. Or was he the stick?
I don't know, but then the gypsy moth.
I shall research.
The gypsy moth as well. So some of those carnival characters from It's a Bug's Life were walking around too. So I got my picture taken with Stick from It's Bug's Life. And that was really neat as well. It was just really cool meeting all the characters. Like I said, it took the entire day. We had a lunch break, but we really took the entire day to do this. But it was a great event put on by Disney, and hopefully they'll do more stuff like this.
So you
not too many.
Didn't go on a single attraction in the whole day?
No, I went specifically for that.
But you could have, you say you filled the whole day without even needing to do it.
We filled the, I mean, literally the whole day. Like if we had any more time left, I would have waited for Bullseye, but we decided to go meet the Incredibles characters instead. Like, I couldn't do both. It was either Bullseye or the Incredibles characters, and Bullseye was waiting out in the hot sun for another hour because it's the last time he was going to be there, and there was starting to be a line for him. So it was literally just wait for Bullseye or go inside to the air conditioning and meet the Incredibles.
Wow, okay. Well, I know I spoke to someone who was there at the time, and they said that they'd gone to the park to do this, but they were going to try and do some attractions, and it got to 6 p.m. They still hadn't done a single attraction, but they'd done most of the other stuff, and then they sort of finally got to the point where they thought, I need to do some attractions now. Well, that does sound awesome.
Yeah.
Just one quick question we haven't mentioned. Merchandise, any good?
No. You know, I was a little disappointed. I thought there'd be some cool Pixar stuff, and I don't think I missed anything. There was nothing really Pixar. They were really pushing Cars, so they were, you know, Cars 2.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing. So there's plenty of new Cars 2 merchandise out, but as far as general Pixar stuff, no, I was shocked at that too.
Cool. Okay. See, right. Go on. Sorry.
I was going to say I'm baffled that you spent all day just queuing up meeting people. Is that it?
I know. I'll tell you, though, as I started this, I get so happy. Like, it's just a good time. And if you look at the pictures, I have nothing but this huge smile on my face. We were laughing the whole time, you know, as myself and a friend of mine. And we just, the time really went by. I mean, when we looked at our clock and it was like 5 o'clock. And like I said, we had to choose, you know, between Bullseye or the Incredibles, and it was the end of the day. It just flew by. But yes, yeah, literally. I'll tell you, though, there wasn't much of a wait for any individual character. A lot of it was kind of walking around to the different places, and it was warm out. And the biggest waits. Well, the biggest waits came when the outside characters, when they had to switch them out, and it seemed like shorter time periods than usual. And I don't know exactly Disney's thing. Like, if it's a certain temperature out, do they have less time outside? Because, you know, 10 minutes seemed really short to me. I thought it's usually like 15 or 20.
Short.
So is it something that you would like Disney to do again?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, it's awesome, but it would take away from the specialness of it a little bit.
Okay, so it's something that you know, maybe they do every now and again.
Yeah.
Something every single year.
Yeah, do it every 3-5 years or something like that.
Well, talk about something special coming every 3 to 5 years or so.
Harry's Holiday!
Yes, Harry's Holiday, thank you very much. Nick was also had a manic weekend, the weekend of the Pixar weekend, and also the Destination D. D23's Destination D, Walt Disney World at 40, was a massive event that took place over at the Contemporary Hotel. It was at the Fantasia Ballroom, if I remember rightly. And, you know, we could literally spend the next 2 hours just talking constantly about this event. And we really aren't going to, because there's so much to fit in. But,
well, Adam, the outline I sent you was 6 pages long.
Yeah, I know. I've got the outline in front of me right now, and we're not going to go through all of it from top to bottom. It's just we would be here forever, and I think, you know, people would die of old age by the time we finish the show. So what I want to do is to sort of talk through some of the more unique elements, I think, of the event that happened. It happened 14th, 15th of May. Again, you can go over to DisneyBrit.com, sorry, and there's a blog that Nick basically did over the 2 days that gives you loads and loads of stuff. So let's start off then. So we had the opening, they did a welcome, they had the armchair archivist, didn't they, to start off with, is that right?
Yeah, he does a funny video every so often on the D23 website. Anybody could see it, you don't have to be a member to see it, but it's kind of like a comical look at the archives. This past one showed a Rocketeer in the archives. He's a funny guy, so he shows it in a very comical, exciting way.
And they just, basically dig out stuff from the archive and do it. It's like a video podcast, isn't it, usually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Stephen Clark came out. Brilliant stat. 42 states were represented, as well as Canada, Australia, the Bahamas, Germany, Netherlands, and the United Kingdom. He then brought out Debbie Dane Brown, who is...
She's the first Walt Disney World ambassador. Now, this was just had to be an amazing job. And to look back, you know, she wasn't that great of a speaker, unfortunately, but she told us some stories. And basically, she saw all the firsts of Walt Disney World. She was there. She was there at the, you know, at the preview center when, you know, before things were even built, when people were just seeing what is going to be here. She was there giving people kind of virtual tours of what was going to happen. You know, she was at all the first. She toured the country and was at all these promotional, you know, events and things like that. Was there an opening day?
And is it right?
Is it right that
she wrote on her application form that she would not get married for the time she was an ambassador for Walt Disney?
That was a stipulation. She didn't write it. I mean, she signed the application that said you cannot get married until, you know, 1 year after.
Okay. That's a really hard stipulation. Now we moan about
it. I don't think it is. I think it's really cool. Yeah, I might sign up for it.
But what was the reason for that stipulation? Has it got something to do with obviously being obtainable and pretty and beautiful and in the preview center?
Exactly.
Right, okay.
I'll tell you. They showed, you know, because they're basically, they were called the Disney girls, and there was 14 of them. And yeah, you know, they showed some pictures of, yeah, they were pretty cute.
There you go.
I would have went to Walt Disney World.
Right, and now we just don't know. Anyway, right, so he sort of introduced her, they talked about that, and this is the one that I was really
give me a meet and greet with them.
No. No. This was the one that I was really interested in because it just sounded very strange. And that was Becky Cline and Disney historian Paul F. Anderson. She did something called Weird Disney. Can you sort of explain a little bit about Weird Disney?
Yeah, you know, they started things off with a bang. They started things off with a funny segment and then Debbie Dane Brown sharing some stories. Then they went into Weird Disney. And this was absolutely hilarious. And real quick, though, it was kind of a letdown the rest of the day because they started out with this hugely funny thing. And Weird Disney was a really comical look at costumes, attractions, videos from Walt Disney World back in the day. And they actually started out with a look at Disneyland stuff because by the time they got to Disney World, they had perfected some of the costumes a little bit more. But I don't know if you guys have ever seen the original Mickey Mouse character costumes. They are hideous.
Are we talking about the ones that the Ice Capades had? Or
I'm talking about the ones that were walking down Main Street in Disneyland with Walt Disney.
They were originally they were used by the Ice Capades, and Walt opened Disneyland, he actually borrowed them to open the park because they sort of forgot to make the costumes.
I wish there was a question and answer session because I don't know how Walt allowed Mickey Mouse to walk around, or any of the characters for that matter, to walk around like this. I mean, they were just absolutely, they were scary. They were scary. They were so bad. They showed this rabbit that was there at the opening of the Alice ride at Disneyland. And it was just like a frontal thing. I mean, you could see the person's neck and hair sticking out the back. The costume looked like pajamas. I mean, did you know, I don't know if you ever seen the movie A Christmas Story and Ralphie wears the bunny pajamas. That's basically what it looked like. It was that stupid. And, you know, and the bunny looked deranged. Its face looked like it was going to start biting people in the audience. And even Walt was a little perturbed by it. You could tell because when they sat in the car, Walt was behind the rabbit that was driving the car. And Walt was like trying to fix his costume.
So what's this? This is a rabbit with myxomatosis then?
Oh, it was ridiculous. In the view holes on the costumes, they've definitely perfected that. Before, it was just these big grates. And I mean, you could see the person's face through it. Now they've disguise those view holes a little better, so that's nice. Now, the funniest part, well, first of all, did you ever see these World Showcase characters at Epcot?
The really weird doll looking creatures.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of this, like you said, if you go on DisneyBrit.com, you can see some pictures that I'm talking about while I'm talking about this. But yeah, these characters were just insane. They realized, like, a year or two into the World Showcase at Epcot that we don't need these guys walking around. The funniest thing that Weird Disney showed us was this Grad Night promo. Now, of course, Grad Night just ended. It was the last one here at Walt Disney World. Grad Night was around since the start, and they make these videos and they send them out to local high schools. They're probably high schools around the country, I'm not sure. But I talked to somebody who went to high school here in Central Florida, and he remembers getting these Grad Night promos to tell their school to come to Grad Night. And this was one of the first ones made. And it was, I don't know if it was funny, creepy. It was everything rolled into one.
Right.
It was these two guys playing guitar. They were in tights and they were kind of dancing around playing guitar. And they were playing like this kind of like 70s music and all like folk music, I guess. And all they were kind of dancing through college campuses. And these kids would see them, smile, and all of a sudden jump up and start joining them. And they were all just skipping along and stuff. And then they were like, you know, they saw a bus, so they all got on this bus. And, you know, the crazy, creepy song men led them onto this bus. And the bus transformed into a magical Greyhound coach bus and took them to Walt Disney World. And on the bus, you know, they were all like, it was funny because they were really kind of stereotypically cheesy. It was funny because there was only one black person in this entire movie. And you didn't see him throughout the whole movie, but just once on the bus, they cut to him going like, "That's cool." And that's it. It was like, they just had like a token black guy doing one little thing on this bus. And I mean, the video was just absolutely crazy. When they got off the bus, all of a sudden the musical guys started hooking up with some of the college girls, and they all like magically transformed by the fairy godmother. It was just like a crazy, trippy, weird 70s video. And this was actually sent out to schools. And actually,
I love that. Someone was saying, I sort of followed the Twitter as it went on over the weekend, and people were saying how they just wished this was in the public domain for people to see. Next up was Walt Disney World, The Way We Were, which was Dave Smith. I don't think we probably want to go into too much detail, but I think it was basically Dave Smith talking about how Walt Disney World, or certainly Magic Kingdom, came about. Is that right? With a few sort of photos.
Yeah, it was more just a slideshow of photos, and he told us, you know, kind of what was in the photos, but showing us these rare photos that they pulled out of the archive, and they actually covered all four Walt Disney World parks as well. But you know, a few of the cool things were the Haunted Mansion being built. And that picture, I mean, just think about it. It kind of gives me chills a little bit to think about the Haunted Mansion, the hitchhiking ghosts, like all wrapped in plastic, you know, just being shipped to the Haunted Mansion. They're just about to unwrap them and stick them in the attraction. I mean, how cool is that?
That is cool. Yeah, I did see that photo. That is really cool.
One funny thing is Dave Smith showed us this photo, and it was It was an interesting photo of a construction photo of Walt Disney World. Afterwards, at lunch, a friend that went to the event as well, we were talking, and we had a question. I asked him a question. He said, "Well, you should ask Dave Smith." And I said, "You think Dave Smith would know?" And he turned to me and said, "Dave Smith was there the day they paved Main Street. I think he'd know, because he showed us a picture of them paving Main Street." I mean, how cool is that?
That's cool. That is cool. Just before we move on to sort of the second part, because you went for lunch at Grand Floridian, which I'm not going to go into detail on. How many people were roughly at the event?
Yeah, and was the lunch free?
Was it free? No.
No. No. Okay. No, but, you know, a funny thing about the lunch and dinners is that I, you know, kind of met two friends, old friends that, you know, I haven't talked to too much. I didn't know they were going there, and they had made reservations for lunch and dinner. So I just, you know, hooked up with them and turned it into a reservation for three at every place that we went to. So that was cool. About 1,200 people were there.
Okay, so it's a huge number then, much more than I expected. And obviously, we've got photos up on Disney Brit, so you could take video. It was audio out of bounds.
Technically video was out of bounds too, but I'm pretty sure some video leaked out there. I didn't want to get into that too much. Why? Is there some video out there from some people?
Not that I've looked for or seen, no. I just wondered whether what the stipulations
were. What the restrictions were.
Because I know there were some restrictions for some talks that weren't for others, weren't there?
You know, only one talk did they say you cannot take pictures of any kind. The rest you could take non-flash pictures. There was one, and that we'll get to on day two, and that was Walt Disney World That Never Was.
And that's the one that I'd love to see all the photos and everything from. That would be my big one.
Right. Right, but that's the only one they made the announcement. No photography whatsoever.
And were they quite sure with that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. 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 They had D23 people stationed all over the place at different angles. And I saw many of people get walked up to, whether they were taking a flash picture or a picture during this particular one.
Right.
Or if it like they were recording video, they were also stopped as well.
Right. So let's move on then. You went off to lunch and then you came back. And the next one was called Epcot, Walt Disney's Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. I think we can probably guess what that's all about. But do you want to give us a little bit of detail about exactly what this entailed?
Well, you may be able to guess what it's about, but more than the building of Epcot, it was about describing what Walt's vision was for Epcot. And trying to impart upon us, so, you know, I knew this was what Walt wanted to do. I knew Epcot was a huge part of Walt Disney World. I didn't realize how much of a part it was. In fact, one of the stories the Imagineers told us is Walt basically went to his group of Imagineers. And I mean, again, it's hard to impress upon everybody and relate these stories because, I mean, we heard from the men who actually built Walt Disney World. So, you know, it's really hard kind of relaying their stories, but one of them told about how Walt went up to his group of Imagineers that built Disneyland and who were working on Walt Disney World and was like, you guys know how to build a Magic Kingdom. You guys built Disneyland. You guys are doing the same thing, just on a different scale here. You guys go do that. I'm going to focus on Epcot. So really, Walt took a hands-off approach from the Magic Kingdom from the start. This was never meant to be, you know, his main goal here was urban planning, building the perfect city. Mm-hmm. Everything was designed around Epcot. The Magic Kingdom was just there to attract tourists, give people amusement to do at this big resort that he was making. But Epcot was his focus, and that's why he bought all this land. It was for Epcot. And, you know, obviously his dream of Epcot never really came to be as Walt thought about it in his head. But a lot of this panel discussion was really about looking at other parts of Walt Disney World, even to this day, and how little pieces of Walt's dream of Epcot are fit in throughout Walt Disney World. One of the things they talked about is Walt was in a hotel one day and he kept getting woken up every day, or, you know, one week he was getting woken up every morning by the trash collecting truck. It was so loud. And he was like, there must be a better way. And so that's why at Walt Disney World, they have these, you know, huge vacuums underneath your feet that suck all the garbage to a central location. Yeah, you don't see the garbage. I mean, you know, obviously there's collectors that come get it, but you don't have that right next to, even in the resorts and things like that. You don't have that noise because it's not something he wanted. He wanted a better way of doing things.
Yeah.
So he wanted that, but on a grander scale. He wanted that for a real living city, you know, New York City, LA, to implement stuff like this where you didn't have these garbage trucks driving around because you just had everything sucked under the city and out. So different little things like that.
Okay, that's cool.
Couple of cool things. We saw a video of a press conference, you know, where he was talking about Epcot, mm-hmm. Blueprints from what he originally wanted Epcot to be. And so this one turned out, it was much different than I expected what it was going to be. And it was one of the most profound panels of the weekend.
Now, the next one that came up is one that I looked at, and when I saw it, I was totally underwhelmed by it, and this didn't mm-hmm. sound like it was going to be anything any good. It's called Past Forward, A History of Walt Disney World on TV. And I looked at that and went, so we're going to be watching a lot of television then. It would have been probably the one that I'd have missed and gone off for one to Magic Kingdom or something like that. Was it as big a letdown as it sounds, or was it actually quite interesting?
It wasn't that big of a letdown. There were some very funny parts into it. I mean, we could go through it kind of quick, but old TV promos and videos. So to me, it's really comical to see these promos that were put out there for Walt Disney World back in the day, back in the 70s, mm-hmm. these TV spots that are just really comical now. One of the cool things was to see the out-of-town news reporters coming in to talk about, you know, and do their news shows from whether it be Epcot the Animal Kingdom, Disney, and things like that. One of the funny things that they showed us was this Disney Channel show that used to be on, Inside Out. And I remember watching this as a kid. And I, you know, they showed us this funny episode of how they sent an undercover person into the Magic Kingdom to hassle cast members and see how cast members would react to him. And they did this one funny thing where they gave guests full cups of water that you had to hold in your teeth and then ride Big Thunder Mountain with with a video camera pointing at you. These people got absolutely drenched. It was so funny. And the winner, you know, would be the one that came out with the most water. So that sounded like a great show. Too bad they don't do anything like that anymore. You know, and of course, they chose the grand openings. So Magic Kingdom, very, very underwhelming grand opening show.
Right.
You know, it started off... with this guy, I think it was Glenn Campbell, playing a guitar in a field and walking towards the monorail. And that's how it started. And just, it was very underwhelming, very dry, very slow. There was this one funny video of Michael Douglas. He was the, not the actor, but the talk show host from back in the day. And he was singing to the Contemporary Resort. It was just so cheesy. And so ridiculous. And it was like, really? This is the opening of Walt Disney World? Epcot was a bigger show. The things that used to go on at Epcot, such as the Ken and Barbie show.
Oh, I saw that.
What was really great, though, is at the end of the whole thing, on day two, they brought the guy who played Ken onto the stage. It was hilarious.
No way. Also, the actual man himself.
Yeah. The actual guy who played Ken in the 80s, or it might have been, you know, might have been early 90s, late 80s, in that show, they brought him out on stage. The Kids of the Kingdom, we used to perform at the Magic Kingdom, were really cool as well. Yeah, different things like Super Bowl ads and things like that.
That sounds cool.
It was funny. I mean, it was definitely funny just because, I mean, hey, in 20, 30, 40 years from now, we're going to look back at videos that we do now here in 2011 and laugh because they're ridiculous.
Right, let's move on then, because this is the one that I'm really interested in, the one that I really, really wanted to know a lot about, and they didn't really give us much information. And this was Tony Baxter, who is an absolute Disney legend. You know, he's one of possibly the most famous Imagineer after Marty Sklar, I think. He's a guy who's worked with the Walt Disney Company for years and years and years. He's had loads of different concepts, ideas that he's tried to put through and haven't always happened. And he presented something called Walt Disney World That Never Was. There was no photos or video or anything allowed with this. So can you explain a little bit about what each of these were?
Yeah, I'll tell you, this was, believe it or not, one of the most underwhelming panels. Just because I thought it was going to go into more detail and give us more spectacular things. A couple of things that he mentioned were a few of the resorts, including the Asian Resort, the... Persian resort. Thank you. You know, some of those things.
That's like Craig and his usual stuff.
I know. I'm going to enjoy that one.
That were in the original concept, never came to be. Apparently, they were originally supposed to have a Sleeping Beauty dark ride.
Right.
And that later turned into a Snow White instead. Sword in the Stone dark ride was an original concept for Fantasyland. And they decided to go with Mr. Toad. Also, Mary Poppins was apparently the original kind of dark ride, flight type ride before they decided on Peter Pan instead. So would you have rather had Mary Poppins or Peter Pan?
Peter Pan, I think, Craig.
Peter Pan. No, definitely Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I don't see how you fit Mary Poppins in because it's just not expansive enough flying wise, is it?
No, and she's quite nice when she arrives on the carousel and just rides around on there. I think that's a nice place for her.
Yeah.
Also, one of the big attractions, did you know there was supposed to be a prehistoric raft ride with dinosaurs and everything?
No, I didn't know anything about that at all.
Yeah, wow. That was one of the original, not original, but a later concept for the Magic Kingdom. And they decided against that. Also, the Western...
It'd be good if all this stuff came out in a book.
Wouldn't it be awesome? It'd be an awesome book. The Magic, you know, like the
be a huge seller if Disney decided to do that. One of the cool things that they did, the Western River Expedition, which I know a lot of people do know about that one, but they did a cool walkthrough where they themed it to music and kind of took you through a mixture of the models and the concept art, which was really...
There's elements of it now in Haunted Mansion in Disneyland Paris. They're taking some of the joke scenes. The Phantom Canyon scene in it apparently has taken a lot of the jokes out of what would have been in the Western River Expedition.
Yeah, it was cool. They showed us a lot of the gags and things like that and played some sound effects to go along with it. And it was a really neat walkthrough. Also, real quick, in Epcot, did you know there was supposed to be originally a kids' play island on one of those islands in the middle of the World Showcase?
No.
Yeah, I knew that.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course you did, yeah.
I'm losing my geek status.
Then they decided not to do it as kids. Do you know what it was supposed to be after that, Craig?
After the kids, yeah, it's going to be for OAPs.
Was it not going to be the original Pleasure Island?
That's what it was going to be, yes. It was going to be an adult Pleasure Island that later, you know, they decided to do that in Downtown Disney. But they were going to do an adult nightclub island out in the middle of the World Showcase.
Okay.
And also one of the other things is the USA was originally planned to be up at the front of the World Showcase, then later moved back to the rear middle there.
Right, and okay. Soon to be taken out.
That is the one I would love to have seen and to heard about, because history of attraction, things like that, is a big, big love of mine, and that would have been truly awesome. And it's the one that they didn't allow them to do anything. You had a break.
Of course,
dinner,
with
then.
That. Sorry, well, of course, wait. With that, we got to see all the concept art and things like that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Concept art. Yeah, amazing.
It's just not fair. So I'd love to have seen that. So then you had dinner, and then you'd already had this history of Walt Disney World on TV, and then we suddenly got Walt Disney World films. And I was looking at that going, what's sort of the difference between this one and that one? And I couldn't work it out. My only guess was these were films that weren't necessary for television.
Right. We'll go through this one. We can go through pretty quickly. So it's a little different than what I thought it was going to be. It was these four films, and a couple of them were internal films.
Right.
And a couple of them you could see on YouTube and things like that. And they acknowledged that. However, they digitally restored them, and you never would have seen them like this out there on YouTube and things like that. But one of them they found in the archives, and it was labeled like video number 9, scribbled onto the VHS tape or whatever. But not even VHS, it could have whatever kind of tape it was, film or reel, I don't know what it was.
I would guess, would it be?
Yeah, but they just saw video number 9 on it, and they pulled it out of the archives and decided to watch it. It was an internal film in the late 60s, consisting of like concept art and a scale model of the Walt Disney World Resort. And they brought you through concept art of all the different lands that were going to be at the Magic Kingdom. And it was a really cool look, because a lot of this was built, but a lot of it that they showed you in there was not built, including some of those resorts that we mentioned. And so that was kind of interesting, but it was like kind of an internal film to show people within the company what was going to come at Walt Disney World. The next film that they showed us was called Project Florida. Now, a lot of people probably saw this one. I know this one's out there, but again, this digitally restored, looked great. This one came out in early 71. It was kind of to tease what was coming. It had a lot of construction shots of the Magic Kingdom, some press conference footage, things like that. One of the cool things was the monorail beams. Do you know the story about the monorail beams? They had to truck them from across the country.
I vaguely know something about that.
Yeah, they had to. I can't believe they had to truck these huge monorail beams from across the country, bring them on the property, lift them up one by one onto into place. It was just amazing, and to see some of this stuff being built. The third video that they showed us was Magic Kingdom. This was neat. This came out after the Magic Kingdom opened. And this showed a lot of the model makers creating the characters, the mayors programming, the animatronics, so some of those behind-the-scenes shots, the park, kind of like walkthroughs of the park with people, guests in the park and things like that, kind of some of the first videos of the Magic Kingdom actually operating. And a couple of the cool things were behind the scenes at the Tiki Room. And behind the scenes at the Country Bears, with them actually programming the bears and stuff like that. The fourth video, and now a lot of the weekend, I was surprised at how much of this weekend was revolved around Epcot. But going back to think of that earlier panel from day one, there's a good reason for that. I mean, Epcot was a big reason. It was the reason for Walt Disney World in the first place. But this video, it was called A Dream Called Epcot. This was another internal video made in 1981. to motivate the workers into building the park. One of the interesting things is in a lot of the early shots, both in Epcot and at the Magic Kingdom, before the parks were opened, they always hung these big banners up all over the park. Remember whatever it is, October 1st, 1971.
Yeah.
The opening day. They did the same thing at Epcot. They, you know, it's a way of pushing the workers along. This one kind of took you through, again, really neat shots of some of the attractions, some of the animatronics being opened up and installed into the attractions, models being painted, just really cool thing. The performers preparing for their shows that were going to come to Epcot. Just a really, really neat behind-the-scenes look at Epcot.
Okay, right. So there we go. That was all the film. That was the end of day one. Day two, we're going to go through really quick because I understand some of you probably not falling asleep because it's quite interesting, but we're running really long.
Sorry.
Except for Craig, who's just woken up.
Yeah.
So day two started off, we had the current ambassadors who came out and they did a bit of that. They said there was going to be a surprise and they did some weird joke about Walt Disney World attraction maps from the past and that sort of stuff. And then they had a go at...
Yes. I was just going to say to explain that, Steve, the head of D23, put up old Disney attraction maps and said, all right, here's the first one. He started going through them one by one. And that was a joke that we're going to go through all the Walt Disney World attraction maps ever made.
And they didn't. And then they started this D23 D23 trivia contest where they had three rounds, didn't they? And basically, the winners were, there were two tickets to the D23 Expo and a spot in the semi-final, but the winner of the actual entire quiz is going to get a cruise aboard the Disney Fantasy. Am I right in thinking that?
Yep, the winner of the D23 Expo trivia contest, which will be held in August later this year.
Right, so that's cool. So that was quite simple. Next one then was called Walt Disney World in Detail.
Best panel of the entire day. I don't care that we got to hear from the guys who built Walt Disney World. This was the best panel of the weekend.
This is basically Jason Sorrell doing stand-up, wasn't it? Is that pretty much what it was?
Pretty much. I want Jason on the show. I need Jason on the other Destination Disney brand. I don't care. I want to talk to this guy. Tried to get his contact info. If anyone knows him, if they're listening, I want Jason on this show.
Right, okay, there we go. And basically, they just went through loads and loads of different details. Right, you know, we've got a massive list in front of me here, but do you want to just give us a couple of your sort of favorite ones?
I have to. First of all, they told us about Imagineering, the story, how this is what makes Disney World. This is what makes Disney Disney. How they tell a whole story. They talk about the big picture, the middle, and the close-up. You know, the big picture, you're walking up to the attraction. The middle, the story that binds the whole ride together. And the close-up are those gags that they throw inside the rides. Now, what they show this here is a lot of different Imagineer tricks, and they brought us through and showed us what Imagineers do.
Right.
One of the cool geeky things was to see these blueprints of the different attractions and things like that with the, you know, Walt Disney Imagineering logos and things like that. Really neat. A few of the things that they did, you know, they show us the nods to characters that they stick inside. That's one part of Imagineering, where you kind of give a nod to previous Disney rides, like, you know, Mr. Toad handing over the deed to Mr. Owl in the Pooh ride. These tiny obscure references that they put in there that you would have no idea about. You could not possibly guess these, why this stuff is in there. But do you know, one of the things that Jason talked about was outside Mouse Gears, there's these screens up over the speakers and they have geometric shapes on them. They're just colorful screens, right?
Yeah.
And when he was a kid, he always went to the Magic Kingdom, saw the People Mover, and there's some cast-only stairs next to the People Mover. And he always wanted to climb these stairs, and he always dreamt about what was up those stairs. Amazing things, rocket ships, things like that. Well, he incorporated a geometric side view of the shape of those stairs into the geometric shapes on this speaker drape. I mean, just absolutely insane. You would never think about it, but he shows a close-up, and sure enough, there's stairs, and they're in a stair pattern, kind of walking up the drape. I mean, just insane, and no one would ever know, but it's just the little thing he puts in there.
Okay.
One other thing, practical use of theming. This is really cool, too. In, you know, where they do the Pirates makeovers and next to you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, they needed to make a doorway larger, okay, to accommodate more guests and things like that. Well, they couldn't do it engineering-wise because they'd have to rip out the ceiling, make the arch bigger, do all these things. So instead, Jason decides, well, what if a cannonball went through the wall next to the door and blew out part of the wall? And there you go. Now, all of a sudden, the doorway's bigger. So they pretended a cannonball went through, you know, made it look like a cannonball blasted through there, stuck a cannonball in the opposite wall. That's where it ended up. Put these bullet holes and everything in there. And there you go.
Sounds like.
Sounds good. Yeah. So amazing.
What a day in Imagineering, the day that we blew a hole in the wall and put bullet holes in something. You don't get that in every job, do you?
They talked about how things happened by accident. He designed the colors in the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. And just by accident, some person came to him and they were like, wow, that's awesome, Jason. You matched the color. You know, you did it like the fairy godmother. He's like, what? Like, what? Look. And he showed us, obviously, side by side, all the colors in there matched the fairy godmother's costume. And he's like, oh, I don't know that. There were so many. All right, Mickey's the Mickey meet and greet at the town square. They're very proud of that one. They stuck a lot of gags and references in
there. Yeah, people have picked up.
Yeah, well, we have a lot. We took a lot of pictures. Some of the things that people didn't pick up on are some of the luggage tags and things like that. There's these really small things that are sometimes hard to pick up, and you have to kind of walk around things to look at things. Some of the things aren't obvious. One of the things that apparently was drawing a lot of mystery in the Disney community was this picture of Mickey and Oswald that looked like it was drawn by a little kid. And it said, to Mickey and Oswald from Jason. Well, this was a drawing that Jason Sorrell, the senior show writer, drew when he was a little kid. It was in his mom's attic. He pulled it out there, scanned it, and decided to add it in his ride. And it's stuck up there on the corkboard. That's why it's there. It's just this fun little thing in there. And it's his own it's a little piece of him in there. One of the cool things, and I just have to mention this as well, they talked a lot about the copper penny effect. Apparently, this was an old movie with not Keanu Reeves, Christopher Reeves.
Okay.
And it was this idea, and this ties everything together that Imagineering does. It's this idea that you should never be pulled out of the reality that they're trying to put you into. You know, you should never be pulled out of this, you know, the story. And apparently in this movie, is a dreamland, but he gets pulled back into reality when he sees a penny and it has the wrong date on it than he expected it to be, and it messes up with his mind. Well, it's the same thing here. They try not to put any what they call copper pennies in Disney, you know, anything to pull them out of this wonderful story that they're in. And that's a big, they put so much thought, and this is what makes this panel, besides being absolutely hilarious, it was a unintended stand-up routine between these guys. It was just, that's what ties all Imagineering together. I have to tell you one more thing. I know you're going to yell at me. but this was so funny because, all right, we're seeing all these presentations, right? And this is day two. So we're seeing a ton of these presentations, some wonderful, you know, slideshow and PowerPoint presentations. These guys, Alex, Jason, and Jason, get up there with this absolutely horrendous PowerPoint presentation. It looks like a three-year-old made it up. It has these static pictures. It has they're very plain with just these like random color lines at the bottom for a border. I mean, they're absolutely horrendous. And the whole time, they're like, oh, gee, you know, how do I make... I want to, you know, how do I animate these? How do I make these move? How do I make these better? You work at Disney in Imagineering. I'm pretty sure the guy a couple doors down from your office can animate those slides for you. I'm pretty can I animate anything? There's plenty of people on property that can make your slideshow look better than that.
Where's the apprentice when you need him?
Yeah,
they were like, how
it's too busy sort of taking him out.
How do I zoom into this? How do I do this? You freaking build attractions at Walt Disney World, and you can't figure out the PowerPoint presentation. It was great.
Let's whiz through the next few bits and pieces, because there's one last one that I really wanted to talk about. We had the Imagineering Walt Disney World from yesteryear to Tomorrowland, where they basically just went through and talked about Star Tours, Fantasyland expansion, the Art of Animation, and they announced the return of the Tiki Room. Then there was a whole section to do with a question and answers are with Disney legends. So they had Bob Gurr there, Ron Logan, Marty Sklar, Bob Foster, Orlando Ferrante, and Debbie Dane Brown as well on one panel, and the other panel was Jack Lindquist, Bob Matheson, Tom Nabb, Charlie Ridgway, Bill Sullivan did those ones as well. I don't want to go into all of the detail because I think there's so much we can talk there about Walt. But yeah, the last thing in the afternoon, or in the evening, was the Richard Sherman concert, Magical Journeys. Tell us a little bit about that, just sort of round everything off.
All right, well, this was a very magical little concert because, first of all, Richard Sherman, basically, I mean, he created so many tunes that we know and love, whether it be in from movies like, you know, Winnie the Pooh. I mean, he made Winnie the Pooh's theme song, Tigger's theme song, music from The Jungle Book, Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. and also these attractions that we just, you know, that we know this music from, the Tiki Room, It's a Small World, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. I mean, the Sherman Brothers did all that. So it's just amazing to see. I mean, you hear these tunes over and over again. But to have the guy sitting on a stage in front of you with a piano, playing the tunes and singing them to you. I mean, there's just something about that that's just absolutely amazing. And there's nothing like Disney to give you that feeling. I mean, it was just amazing. He told us a couple of stories. One was the first time he went and wrote It's a Small World, right?
Yeah.
They get on the attraction, and it's just all clanking noises because it's the animatronics and there's no music to it. And they go through it and everybody's like, okay. And apparently someone looks at Walt and they're like, this is great, Walt. This is amazing. And then they say, but what is it? And Walt pauses and he turns to the Sherman Brothers and he's like, you guys write us a song to explain all this. And that was basically their job. Their job, Walt and the Imagineers made up these amazing rides. He said same thing with the Tiki Room. They make the Tiki Room. They showed it to the first audience and people came in. There was no sound, no music, but people saw the animatronics. And they were like, again, this is great, Walt, but what is it? What's the story here? Walt turns to the Sherman Brothers. Eh, you guys write something to explain what I just made here. You know, so like that was their job, to write music that told the story of what guests were seeing. It was just, it was absolutely amazing. You know, just the little stories about how things came up. I don't know if you knew, but It's a Small World was supposed to be like a slow hymn-like.
Yeah, I heard that.
Not this fast, you know, tune that it is today. And he actually sang it to us and played it for us in the original version. You know, little things they took, you know, he was like, you know, what am I supposed to write for this attraction? And someone said, well, Walt has a dream. That's a start. And, you know, and then became Man Has a Dream. And that's the start for the Carousel of Progress. I mean, just, he told us these stories about how this music came about. The greatest part, he had one song left to play. He's like, the host of the segment turns to Richard and is like, there's one that we're forgetting. And, you know, which one is it? Which one is it? And all of a sudden, Dreamfinder and Figment walk out on the stage. And the crowd absolutely goes bonkers. I mean, absolutely bonkers. And obviously,
it's the original Dreamfinder, isn't it?
It is the original Dreamfinder. Wow. And then, you know, obviously to see the Dreamfinder and Figment up on stage with Richard Sherman sits at the piano and starts playing One Little Spark and sings it, and the Dreamfinder's there on stage. I mean, just absolutely a magical moment that only Disney can create.
Oh, cool. It does sound amazing. It does truly sound an awesome weekend. And, you know, we haven't covered everything. We haven't even talked about the archives or any of the little clever bits of audio they've played or any of the bits and pieces they gave out as souvenirs and all those sort of things. But if you go over to DisneyBrit.com, there is a review on their blog from Nick. Also, the next edition of Mouse Mag, due out at the beginning of July, is going to have a feature article all about the Destination D event as well. But thank you, Nick, for sharing the most amazing detail about every single thing that's been going on at Walt Disney World over the past couple of weeks.
Guys, it was just an honor to be there. One little quick thing to take away, because we didn't even talk about, like they said, the Imagineers who built the freaking Walt Disney World. The biggest thing to take away from them is their sense of accomplishment still to this day. I mean, Walt went to them with this dream to do this, and they didn't even realize what they were getting into. Mm. They didn't realize until they flew there and saw the amount of land, saw Walt's blueprints for what he wanted there, and they were just like, you know, how do we make this happen? And one of the big things that they told us is you never tell Walt Disney no.
Yeah.
Because he will find somebody else to do it. So they never, the guys who we know the names of never told Walt Disney no. Walt Disney had this dream. Hey, this is what I want to do. Make it happen. And these guys made it happen to this day. They feel a huge sense of accomplishment looking back on what they did.
There you go. Awesome. I love it. I love it. That sounds like an amazing, amazing event. It really does. Well, there you go. That's everything for this show. Thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully you're all still awake because we've been here a long time. And if hopefully you've got a long journey over half term, you'll be nearly there by now. And we can say something like, you have reached your destination. Please get out here. But thank you to everybody who's joined us. Thanks again to our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at www.columbus-vacations.com. Thank you to Juz.
Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Still here. And to Craig.
Woohoo! Thank finished.
You. And thanks also to Nick for joining us. Awesome.
I didn't know those guys were still with us, but yeah, yes, thank you
here.
Very much.
They're still here.
It was an honor being a Brit for an hour.
There you go, for an hour, nearly two. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions, podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail 0121 288 2858 if you're in the UK and Europe. And if you're in the US,
407-545-7980.
So make sure to check out disneybrit.com for the latest news, rumours, blogs, reviews, the whole lot over there. You can find us on Facebook and our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, Craig and Nick. And also check out MouseMag, magcloud.com. Search for MouseMag and download your edition there as well. Thank you to those who continue to leave us reviews on iTunes. And you can still check out our YouTube channel, which is Disney Brit Podcast. There's loads of videos that have gone over there. We've got Star Tours, one went up recently. A load of Cars stuff over there as well. You can still check us out on Heartbeat Radio, heartbeatradiousa.com, where you can listen to the Destination Disney Radio Show and the Iron Orlando Radio Show. That's every Friday evening. And also, well, you can go to destinationd.info. That'll take you straight to disneybrit.com as well. If you've not had a chance to listen to any of the past Iron Orlando or Destination Disney, you can also download those from iTunes. Don't forget also, visit discot.net, joining with all the chat that's going over there, the new Disney social media website. And that's pretty much it. So it leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be on Wednesday, the 8th of June. So until then, we'll see you.